Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you've had a great week so far and you've enjoyed yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Last week we discussed, or rather shared the word of God around making choices. And I hope you made some good choices this week. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you didn't make any choices, it's not about guilting you. The grace of God can help you make a new start this week. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful and privileged to sit before you this morning. I ask that you guide us this morning as we hear your word and be with me as I speak, that you will lead me to speak what I need to say this morning. Most importantly, your Father, I beg that you prepare our hearts, our minds, heart and soul to be open to your word, Almighty Father. Lead us and give us a great time of worship as we continue. And it's in the name of Christ I pray and believe. Amen. Fantastic. Okay. Let's see if we can get some things moved around here. All right. This morning I'd like to talk about what will it take to grow. We made choices last week. What will it take for us to grow? Let me start by how you got here this morning. It took some planning. Amen? For some of us, it took some navigation instruments. Because you don't know the place well, so you have to plug in the address and all that. You had to plug that in to get here, right? It also took some encouragement for some of us to get on and come on time or just to be here and be happy. Does that make sense? It took some thinking yesterday, either to iron the clothes or do what you needed to do up front to get you to be here in good time and to be able to participate in worship. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, any kind of growth takes some planning. It doesn't just happen. Transformation does not happen just because we're talking transformation. Yes, we're talking transformation, but we have to want to be transformed. We have to want to turn ourselves into God and say, please, God, help me out when I'm getting stuck. Now, here I have a quote that says, the only journey is the journey within. If you remember in Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching the word of God, and the people said, they were cut to their hearts and said, what shall we do? That they were cut to the heart. Then ask the question, what shall we do? It was an internal process that was prompted by hearing the word of God, then began them to respond, to be responsive to the word of God, and began to say, what shall we do? It is that process that was triggered by being convicted by the word of God that began that change of repentance. And the rest of the story of the book of Acts is just what God was doing with them. So it's important you understand that we cannot change by just focusing on the outside. If all you do is fix a behavior here, fix a behavior there, that's cosmetic. You may survive in 3 months, but the fourth month will give you right back to the same challenges. You may find yourself stuck in Romans chapter 7, doing what you don't want to do. That happens when you've not dealt with the innate needs within you that need to be put before God. So the Spirit of God may begin to fix that. That which you cannot do by yourself. That which that requires you to be connected to God that needs people. A lot of that stuff, we are afraid to go there. We are afraid because we are afraid to deal with the real person. And yet we live in a society that teaches us to deal with the outside. Everything is about outside, how you look. That's all. There's nothing wrong, by the way, about how you look. But if you want to be transformed, that's not where to begin. The journey must begin within. That journey is one that requires some quiet, some understanding of where am I right now, and we'll be going there in a moment. So let's get on with it and start here. Point number one, it'll take authentic humility. Authentic humility. The Bible says here that two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. From that point on, things were going south. Let's see what he says. He says, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. That's true about the Pharisee, though. But what was the problem? He began by talking about other people and began to have a comparison about, I'm not like X, Y, Z. And sometimes we don't say that verbatively, but we think that. And because we think that, transformation is not happening because the comparison gets in the way of transformation. Because the way transformation functions is that when you start, when you begin to compare yourself as you begin to settle, you say, I'm not like the robbers. I'm not like an evildoer. And we begin to settle or adulterous because we begin to minimize our sin. And yet our walk with God has never been about me being different than better than my wife or me being better than my children. It's about me being right with God. I love the fellowship. Amen? Amen? I love the fellowship. But when we stand before God, it's you and God. So we must learn to connect with God on an individual level. To connect that, he began by saying, oh, I'm not like these people. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. That was going on. But the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The difference, they're all saying, they're being real, but one is really in touch with what's going on inside. Now, our culture does not espouse or encourage people that are in touch with themselves. It encourages you to act the position, to fight, to stay in the place, and not to be vulnerable and deal with who you are, and to make real changes and turn yourself to God. So it says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other man, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, the tax collector had something. And that is, he could face the very issues he had in his life. He could say, I'm a sinner. I mean, it's hard to admit who we are. That's a hard thing, right? It's very hard to admit. You know, for a while I've been off my sweets and chocolate. And that's something I did quite. I took a lot of sweet and chocolate for a while. Now you may think, I hope I'm not the only one. I'm sure there are a few of you that do the same thing as me. And the other day, I think, for some reason, I was taking more chocolate and something. My daughter says, she was talking to me, you know, Dad, I think you are going backwards and you're taking more chocolate as well. And for a while, I was arguing with it. We were in the car. We were arguing. And I was having fun with it. Actually, it was yesterday, and I was just having fun with it. And I thought, hold on, maybe I'm actually flipping backwards. And what was my mindset? I just touched one chocolate yesterday. What's the deal? You follow that? You see, it's a rationale that I put there that begins to move me backwards in my change. You see, the reason transformation can be difficult is the rationale we give to ourselves. That it just wants. It just wants I shouted at my wife. It just wants I did this. It just wants I did that. But what we don't realize is that transformation needs to be saying, how does God see this? And then you begin to pull back and pull back and allow God to do that for you. Now, that's what this tax collector was able to do. Say, this is me. So that's a hard thing for many of us to do, to accept this is me. This is who I am. The good, bad, and ugly. I'm not just talking about the negatives, because if you all go negatives, most likely you get depressed by the time I'm done. I'm not hoping that you go that direction. I'm hoping that you're healthy in the way you look at all these things. You see the good things that God is doing in your life, amen, that will give you some energy to go back and say, God, if you can change this, surely I can change this. And when you understand that, then you can give yourself over to God. But if you are afraid of connecting with God, then you work hard to prove to God that I am good enough. God accepts us anyway. But this is a deep story. It's a story of our childhood. It's a story of how we are raised.
Yeah.
You know, you go to school and you're told I don't know how they grade people in America, but some you're great. You're in grade A, grade B, grade C in some countries. And that can make you feel, what do you mean I'm grade C? That can make you want to prove yourself. We're compared in how we're raised. How come you're not like your sister? How come you're not like your brother? And that makes you feel like I need to prove myself. And I'd say I need to turn myself over to God and the best of me to come out. And so we then come to God and say, but I'm not like X, Y, Z. We don't say, God, this is me. Help me transform. So we spend a lot of energy comparing instead of just being ourselves and allowing God to work with us and helping us to be what we need to be. Let me go back here. Okay, wait. What's going on? Okay, there we go. I have this quote. You will either step forward into growth or you will step backward into safety. Let me talk about this for a moment. The tax collector stepped forward into growth. He figured out, listen, if I'm going to succeed with God, I need to be real. I need to be myself. I need to stop winging it. I need to stop playing games with God. Here I am, God. This is me. Help me out. The Pharisee stepped back into comfort. And sometimes we can do that as Christians. How many times have I prayed? How long have I prayed? How many people am I reaching out? All that is good. But you cannot build your faith on deeds. You got to build your faith on a relationship with God. Because when you do, you're going to have a burnout. What happens when you do everything you want to do and you feel empty at the end of the day? Have you ever done everything that the Bible tells you and still feel empty? It's because there's no connection. You were taking all the ticks, the right ticks, but there's no connection, so you feel empty. You feel tired. You wonder, is this all it's about being a Christian? Coming every Sunday and then going away and nothing happens? Connect and allow God to transform you. It's an amazing place to be. So I hope this morning you're stepping into growth and not backwards into safety. Now, if we're going to step into growth, I want to go a little bit further with this, is you'll need a relationship with God, but you'll also need a relationship with other people. So I want to ask you today, how many friends do you have within the congregation? I'm not talking about acquaintances. Guys that say, hi, hi, how are you? Good to see you. Good to see you. Amen, amen, amen. Not that stuff. I'm talking people you sit down and you feel safe. Safe talking about who you are. Because they don't attack you, they don't put you down, but they help you focus on God. If you say, nobody's my friend, let's start with you. Who can you make friends with? In this church, there's no love. I say, well, you're part of the church. How can you help us build love? Because the church is you and I, you remember?
Yeah.
Everything you don't like about us, you can help us change. Because you're the body of Christ. So don't step back into safety. Get back into growth. But that is a vulnerable place to be because it's a risk. You put out your heart before and it was stepped on, so you put it right back. A healthy person is like you've fallen in love. Have you ever fallen in love before and then gotten rejected? You know how that feels like? You start feeling, oh, all men are like this, all women are like this. I always say, you're just in a bad place right now. Because you haven't spoken to all 7 billion people on earth, right? Including that one that's being born right now. You didn't speak to them. So you want to get healed over that pain and get back into a healthy relationship. Amen?
Amen?
And you start over again in connecting. So start connecting in your family group. Start connecting in your ministry. Start connecting as friends. God first, then the connection, and growth starts to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Secondly, it'll take time. It'll take time. My generation, I think you understand what that means. You can take time, but today's world, I think things have changed. We Google everything. We see everything is on the go. Microwave everything. Everything is just on the go. And that can give you a culture of instant gratification. It just, you cannot wait and think through things. I need it now, 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 now. And the problem with that is, then you don't understand the value of time. We're end users of a product that took a guy many years to design, Google, to design the phones you use, to think through that and put that stuff out. So he took the time to think through all that and put it out us. But he's giving us a culture that does not allow us to think. That is instant, instant, instant. And what that happens is that we can lose the godly values that we see in the Bible. The Bible talks a lot about farming. It talks about sheep. These things take time. You understand that? It takes time. There are struggles you have in your life that will take time. Insecurities. Some things that you went through in life that just damaged you, harmed you, and need to turn around. But you want to come to church and feel, I prayed and it changed. It doesn't work like that. You'll have to do some due diligence on your character. You'll have to turn yourself over to God. Amen. You'll have to say, you know what? This one, I need some accountability. I need prayers. I need people to be with me on this one. I need to be asking God to help me out on this. It takes time. So let's read this. I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he began to tell this parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard. And he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. It was there. He came looking for fruit, nothing. That is me, that's you. Sometimes you're working, but no change. You come looking, next Sunday I'll be different, no change. Next month I'll be different, no change. And you want it quick. Because for some of us, whatever is going on, we feel ashamed of. We feel guilty. And we've lost that very same thing that we read in Romans about accepting the grace of God. Allows you not to run away from those kind of issues. Guilty makes you hide. Shame makes you hide. There's healthy guilt that gets you to come out. But negative guilt hides you. And he's talking about they find nothing there. So what happens? And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. How about that? I'm just going to refuse to deal with this. I will not deal with it. Just cut it down. For 3 years he kept coming. Some of the issues that need transformation take a long time. Because the deep-seated attitudes, deep-seated beliefs, convictions that are not in line with God, they will take time. They will take time. I don't know if I shared this, but my wife and I, for a long time, we got married, and for the longest time, my driving was not the best. That's a mild statement. It was scary. When I had anger, it all came out on the car. I was speeding. It was not the best. And she kept talking to me about it. And I think about it, and I realized that I needed a lot of help. I went through all kind of discipling and all kind of things. And I would think it was just driving. But there were many things playing in the system. Driving was a manifestation of what was happening inside me. Different things was a manifestation. And one day I finally figured it out. Was I wasn't dealing with the frustration within me. And the frustration of relationship. The frustration of just how different things weren't going right. And I was throwing it everywhere. And one day she spoke to me and she just said, when this happens like this, it affects me like this. And that was my day, my Damascus moment. We all come to that point. But it took about 8 years. Another way, and this I think couples struggle with this. My wife would ask me a lot, how do you feel? And I would wonder, how do I feel? Is that important? Why should I feel? I'm okay. I'm around. What are you talking about? I'm walking. Is that not good enough? About 7 to 8 years, finally it clicked. How do I feel? Oh, my goodness. I had to develop my vocabulary. How do I feel? Frustrated, depressed, discouraged. What are you talking about? And now she can never ask me that question if we are just about to go to sleep because I'll be talking for a while. It took time, though. It took time. That's my point. Now, time is not to be abused. Don't get me wrong. The grace of God is not to be abused. If the character of God in relationship is grace, then you have to understand that there is a structure, which is truth. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Does that make sense? But the point I'm trying to put across is that it takes time. And if you are not in touch with yourself and with the issues that you need to transform in, you keep running away. Stop running from your shadow and face who you are. Stop playing games and start facing who you are. It's amazing when that happens. When I stopped feeling like, why are you accusing me of feelings? And I began to deal with, maybe I'm just not in touch with me. Amazing things happened. You see, God blesses us amazingly with his word, with brothers, with the scripture, with all kind of things, but we run away. So he said, okay, cut it down. Don't cut it down yet. Let's see. Why does it even use up the ground? We justify why we should cut it down. And he answered and said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. So it's not just taking time. It's digging around the tree. It is what? Putting in the fertilizer. That's the word of God, that's prayer, that's relationship, that's whatever you need to get on, put the fertilizer in place. Digging around is get rid of all that stuff that's not needed in your life. All that, and if it bears fruit, it will. A lot of character change takes time. It takes time. And if you're a teen, a lot of character change will take time. When you're single, a lot of character things will take time. If you're married, it'll take time. The idea that we will willy-nilly just give up on marriage, willy-nilly give up on life, give up on God, is the fact that we will not take the time to figure it out, to learn, to pray, to be in a weak position, to rely on God in those times, and allow God to bring us to a place of complete change. Why? Because the culture tells us we can change whenever we don't like anything. Let's get a new plan of a phone. Let's get a new this, new that. Well, you cannot do that with life, and you cannot do that with your couple, with your husband, with your spouse. And you cannot do that just even as a teen or a single, as a campus. Those are not the principles of life. You see, if you look at the redwoods of California and how tall they are, they've been around over 100 years. And survived earthquakes, fire, storm, and everything. And they have such deep roots. Why do they have such deep roots? It's because of time. Because of time. Time will reveal who you are. You'll be thrown into things. All kind of stuff will come your way. Now, if you're a teen, have a good time. But, you know, as you come into your... you have some disappointments by the time you're 20. But don't give up on life yet. By the time you're 25, different disappointments come your way. Don't give up on life yet. And sometimes we give up so much on life that we become dead man walking. As in, we get hurt, we hold back. In fact, you used to be on the edge, let's go. Each time you get hurt, you hold back. Something happens, you hold back. By the time you know it, you're going back into the curtains and nobody sees you anymore. So what happened? Life happened. I don't believe in that adage. I say people come back and let God heal you. And trust yourself to God. That's how it functions. And that's how we turn around. So let's talk about this a bit. Time has a wonderful way of showing us what really matters. If you talk to the elders, they'll give you a few ideas about how, don't worry, things will come together in time. Amen? We talk to people that have been around 80, 90. Life is very different to them. They're very calm. They take it easy, all right? I remember if we were going on a journey, I would go visit my grandmother out in the country with my dad, and then my grandmother would be asked to pray before we leave. And she'd be praying about everything, and I feel like we've been praying for about 30 minutes. We need to go now. And in hindsight, big deal. They just need to get there. Prayed for the car, the driver, everything. I'm like... I'm the youngest guy, so we are 12 of us. I'm opening my eyes looking at grandma. How long are you going to be gone? You need to get finished with praying. But they understood time. You need time sometimes. Don't be in a hurry. Take time to figure it out. Church, let's understand the value of time and how that works with us. God allows that for a reason. Because you may not have an understanding right now. But in hindsight, you may see it. But try to understand God as He takes you on His journey of transformation. So what all I need is time. Time to figure out. That is through prayer and through the Word of God. Amen? Through relationships. To figure out who I am. Because sometimes you're playing games, you got to figure that out as well. Does that make sense? Who I want to be. You got to ask God, what do I need? Where am I trying to go with this? It's good to have some aspirations, some goals, what you're trying to drive at. And where I want to go. That's important. Because if you woke up and got in the car today and just said, by the grace of God, I'll get to Meadow Creek. Would that happen? You have to be intentional. Transformation is intentional. So that God may walk through that. Amen. Finally, but not least, it will take grace and truth. It will take grace and truth. Let's finish this. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you read on to verse 17, it says that the law came in with Moses and Jesus came in with grace and truth. I wanted to explain this a little bit. We're running out of time. Just to explain that to us that it's important to understand that the grace of God is His character in terms of relationship. You understand that? Truth is the structure that carries that relationship. Another way of putting it is, in the time of Adam and Eve, they were having both sitting in the garden, right? But then they stepped out of the line and did not obey. So they went out of the structure of truth. And when that happened, God, they were feeling shame. They were feeling guilt and hid. You follow that? And then God comes and says, what happened? Where are you? We're ashamed. Did you take the fruit from the center of the, did you take the fruit from the tree? Yes, we did. Okay, so the consequences came. Those are not punishments from God. These are consequences of us violating God's ways of living. The idea that God is around about shooting everyone that does not like them or like Him, there are issues there. It's the grace of God and truth. So, if we're going to be transformed, we need to accept both. Because if all we have is grace, that's like your body without the skeleton. Then gravity picks you everywhere. But if we are to have truth without the grace, then that's just like having a skeleton without the flesh. That's painful. Ultimately, truth without love kills. It does. And you have to look at that in context of your relationship with God and your relationship with one another. If all you do is correct your children, day one to December, whatever it is, they're not feeling love. Yes, you need to do both. Train them in the way they should go, but show them love as well.
That's right.
But some of us just want to correct, and we're feeling so tired of, what about showing love? Love them the way God loves you anyway. You're not perfect, but you still come along. So truth without love kills. But love without truth lies. We cannot have an excess of either. We need both. The grace of God is a character of His relationship with us. Truth is a structure of that character. If we understand that, God will lead us in a path of growth. God bless you.
So thanks, Steve. That is so encouraging. I hope we all took great notes. Yeah, I'm going to steal that and preach that one day. And just pretend that was my own. Nothing I like about Steve, he's the right size. He's 5'6". Perfect. So, amen. Thank you. Seriously, thank you so much, brother. That was just really, really was awesome. Thank you. Okay, so Christy and I have an announcement. So about a year ago, most of you know, Mark Ottenwelder came and preached to the church here and talked to us about various things. And he talked about people who were retirement age, which we are, if you haven't figured that out by now. And one of the things he said was, are you planning just to go retire and play golf and live in California? Is that what you really want to do with the rest of your life? And I was thinking, yes, that's really what I want to do with the rest of my life. But we went home and we got thinking about it and we got praying about it. And God really put it on mine and Christy's heart that we need to do something more than that. And so we started thinking and praying about going back into the ministry. We wanted to go work for a very small church. A church that maybe wouldn't be able to afford us totally. We'd have to bring some of our income with it because we just wanted to do that. Because a lot of small churches just don't have that ability to support someone. And God bless Social Security, right? Amen. Yeah, yeah. God bless Social Security. So we started praying about this. And about the time we started praying about it, we had three people here talk to us about it. About why weren't we in the ministry? So if you get mad at me, you can blame this on Latanya. Latanya, let me see where you are. Where you at? Where's she at? Where's she at? Yeah. Back there somewhere, okay. And Grub. And, yeah. And Julia Anglin. They all talked to us around the same time, and so we were like, uh-oh, this is big. So we started applying for different churches. To apply for them to be a minister. We contacted three churches. The first one had other people contacting them. They decided to hire someone else. Second church we went and tried out at, after we tried out, they decided they didn't want a minister. I don't know what that means. I didn't quite know how to take that. But they really were have a strong leadership team and just decided at that time they didn't want to do it. Third church we tried out at, after we were through, they said, would you really come preach for us? And we had prayed for clarity, and that seemed like clarity to us. And so what we've done, we've accepted a job with the Big Island Church of Christ in Hawaii. Okay, all right. I know what you're all thinking. Yeah, free vacation. I know what I get it. Free place to stay. So it's located in the city of Hilo, which is on the eastern shore of the Big Island. And so our goal is to move there around the first week of May. So we're currently getting our house on the market and all that sort of stuff. And we resigned from our jobs this week. Yep. So we have jumped in feet first. There's no going back. So what we want you guys to know this. We'll obviously have a lot of time to talk about it. We're very excited. We hope you're very excited for us. I know you will be. We want to obviously spend lots of time with you in the time we have left. And just pray for us. Pray that we'll find a house, you know, pray for all that stuff, you know, you have to pray for, you know, that our furniture won't sink in the ocean on the way over. We're praying for that. Pray for all that. And like I said, we'll have plenty of time to talk about it. But thank you. A few of you have known about this, and you've been very supportive, and Chris and I really appreciate that. So, amen. So, that's okay. Let's pray, and then you'll be dismissed. So, Holy Father, thank you so much for being with us today. Father, thank you so much for our worship team that led us in such an awesome way. Father, I pray, Lord, that our prayers and our songs to you did rise up. And Father, that they held the name of your Son Jesus in the highest honor. Thank you so much for Steve's encouraging lesson. Thank you, Father, for just how encouraging he is in his sermons and how well thought out they are. And Father, just help us, Lord, to realize that you really do want us to grow. And we can grow with time and grace and truth and humility, Father, that you will really make us grow. Please bless us now. Help us have a great day, a great week serving you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you're dismissed.